Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see that, I guess Pastor Tony and I didn't really compare notes on what he shared just then, those couple of passages and what I'm going to be talking about tonight, but it's nice to see there's some parallels between those two, so that's good. Happy Father's Day as well to all the dads out there. I think a nod to those who might have lost a father figure in their life as well. On this day that they might normally be celebrating with them. Didn't actually plan that tonight would be have some elements of fatherhood in it as well, but it does. But that's a nice kind of connection there too. It's good. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Tony asked me if I wanted to share at one of these evening services coming up, and he sort of said, look, you know, not unless you want to, there's not a particular passage or idea or topic I want you to focus on, you know, just talk about something from the heart. And I guess the thing that immediately came to mind was purpose, or to put it in another way, what's God's plan for my life? Where does he want me to be? What does he want me to do? For those of you who don't know me and my wife Lauren too well, I think that's most of you here, which is cool, it's cozy. Standing in front of Gympie Baptist Church here midway through 2020 is not exactly where we thought we'd be 12 months ago. So I thought it would be good to share kind of the journey that God's taken us on over the last few years, what he's taught us, and how sometimes what we think is our purpose and plan, and what God thinks that is, doesn't quite match up. And that can be for good reasons in hindsight. So I'm hoping that might be a blessing for some of you tonight. I'm just gonna quickly pray and then dig in. Thank you again, Lord, for this night, for the opportunity to share with your people. Pray that you would be with me as I share and talk about some of the things that you've been teaching me, that you might bring other things to mind that I haven't necessarily got written down here, if it would be edifying for you. Thank you that you're with us, Lord, and for how you love us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as most of you would know, in 2018, Lauren and I spent the majority of the year serving with a missions organisation in Central Asia. If geography is not your strong suit, Central Asia sits between China in the east and kind of Turkey-ish in the west. It's all the countries that end in Stan. The particular country we were serving in is very hostile to any form of missionary activity, so I'm not going to say the name up here. The majority of you know which country that is, though. There's connections with this church in that country as well. So before we went over there, we were quite sure that at that time we didn't really want to spend any more than a year. But if we felt led, that we might come back and spend a longer amount of time there. So by the end of our time in 2018. We felt that we had unfinished business and that God wanted us to return again sometime soon. We also wanted to start a family as well. How was that all going to work together? Well, we thought that we would work on support raising throughout 2019, have a baby midway through the year, be back overseas by Christmas. Idealistic but achievable, right? Well, as I'm sure you can work out with me still being here, that didn't quite work out. The first part of the plan started right on cue. We found out that Lauren was pregnant at the end of 2018, and the dating scam put the baby due in late August. Praise God, we're on our way. Not quite. So during the first couple of scans, we found out that the baby was tracking a little bit small, and was confirmed by the 20-week mark that the baby had some growth restriction and it was very likely that she would have to be delivered before full term. We were also told at that time that it would potentially be quite a long road for us ahead. The doctors weren't entirely sure what was causing the growth restriction, and we were told to prepare ourselves for the outcome that the baby could have some developmental issues that could potentially impact her for the rest of her life. If that wasn't bad enough, one of the specialists who was seeing us at the time didn't have a particularly great bedside manner. That's about the best way I can put it. And she suggested that if we'd had some tests done earlier in the pregnancy, we could have been in a better position to do something about it sooner. So yeah, terminating the pregnancy is what she was thinking about. Now, of course, we hadn't had those tests done any earlier because we knew that it wasn't going to change anything. And it's quite a well-known verse from Psalm 139, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. I'm just going to read it because it was really comforting to us at the time. From verse 13, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained before me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So I think to be reminded of that amazing fact that God does indeed knit each one of us together in the womb, and that our days have been planned out by him before the first one even starts, gave us hope and peace in what was a really tough and challenging time. So in the last couple of weeks before Elise was delivered, we were in and out of hospital in Brisbane every few days so that her and Lauren's vitals could be monitored really closely. And essentially, it was all about finding a balance between keeping her in the womb as long as possible, but while also making sure that she was being supplied with enough nutrients to keep her healthy. Eventually, the time came when Elise had to be delivered. It wasn't when we were expecting, so I'd already gone home, which meant that it was a mad dash across Brisbane in the middle of the night to get there in time, but thankfully I made it just in time. Elise was delivered at 32 weeks, which is 2 months early, and she weighed in at a very tiny 1.1 kilos, which is 2 pounds and 8 ounces in the old money. And for the first few days, she was on a CPAP machine to help with her breathing. But after this time, praise God, she was doing really well, but she essentially needed to stay in hospital until she could regulate her own body temperature and didn't require a feeding tube. And that ended up being about 7 weeks in total. I guess in hindsight, it's hard to know which was the more challenging time for us, the time leading up to Elise being born with so many questions and unknowns, or the time after she was born with some questions being answered, some answers not coming as soon as we hoped, and a whole lot of different issues to wade through. And some of those issues included family members that didn't really get what we were going through and how tough it was, conflicting advice from nurses. You'd have one tell you one thing, one tell you the completely opposite thing, and I think we found in time if we just met somewhere in the middle, that was pretty good. Of course, broken sleep. And then hospital stuff, having to remember security codes, having to take off your ring and your watch and burn your hands off under some hot water before you could be anywhere near your child. And of course, I think the strain as well, it wasn't just Elise that was the only sick baby in there. A whole bunch of other sick babies and babies that, you know, didn't make it too soon after they were born. But I think through what was one of the toughest periods in our life, we had a loving father who was sustaining us through it all, and he'd ordained certain events and placed people in our lives to meet the needs that we had during that time. And as I was thinking about this, there's quite a few examples of this. So the first was actually being able to broom in, what they call it, the hospital. So essentially being able to stay at the hospital for the time that Elise was there. So when she was healthy enough to leave the hospital in Brisbane, she got transferred up to Budrum, which is where we were originally going to have her before we knew that she was going to need more care in Brisbane. on paper and according to the nurses and the people doing discharge and everything, that's a great arrangement. You close at home, we're all good. In reality, it meant from staying a 5-minute walk away from the hospital when we were in Brisbane to being a 45-minute drive away from where we were living at the time to Budrum. And that was going to be a big problem, but God blessed us with a terrific social worker down there at the Mater, and she did a lot of legwork for us, and she found out that Budrum was actually starting a new program at that time where parents of babies in the special care unit could stay in one of the private rooms in the hospital, providing there are enough rooms available for as long as their babies still needed care. And that was great, and it took a lot of pressure off, but it also meant that we still kind of had this constant threat looming over us of if the hospital got too busy, if there were a lot of mums that came in unexpectedly, we'd have to leave again. But God prompted me, I had the thought, I don't know. But I made contact with my old work boss, who at the time I hadn't spoken with for nearly 2 years. I knew that she had an apartment in Mooloolaba that would only be about a 5-minute drive away from the hospital if we had to move out. So I kind of went out on a limb and spoke with her, and she said to us, look, yep, not only am I happy for you to stay there, she refused to take any rent payment from us. And basically said, you know, this is my newborn baby gift to you. Use this house as your own. Stay there as long as you want. So reflecting on that, so God had put this person in my life 5 years beforehand. And, you know, she was just a colleague, but a worker that I worked with. But through her, we had now had a convenient, private and free place to make our temporary home. At the time, we were also living with Lauren's parents, so we weren't paying rent or mortgage on a place where we weren't actually staying either. So, those couple of things worked out really well. I think another thing that a gift that God blessed us with was a supportive workplace and church. So at the time, Lauren and I were both working at CCC, and throughout the pregnancy, we knew that the school community was holding us and our family in prayer. They were very understanding when Lauren had to take time off to attend appointments. She had to finish off a week before the end of term very suddenly when Elise came. And of course, my work schedule was kind of all over the place for those weeks and months as well. And we also knew that you guys, our church family, were praying for our situation. We're extremely grateful for people checking in with us regularly just to kind of see how we were tracking, how they could be of service. When I think of how we define the church, it was kind of those moments that gave us a new sort of appreciation or understanding of what it means to be a body, what it means to be God's people. I think the most important gift that God gave us during that time and continues to give us now is the gift of himself. And what I mean by that is that his presence in our life, sustaining us in all the pressure and stress that we faced, to know that God had Elise in his hands with whatever was happening, and that we as new and frankly shell-shocked parents could lay all our anxiety and fears at the throne of grace, gave us great comfort. This is where it ties in really nicely with the verses from Corinthians. We saw firsthand the heartache and the brokenness of other parents who were around us that were going through the same thing as what we were. But they didn't have that same sense of peace that we had throughout the entire situation. We saw marriages and relationships being torn apart due to the stress of having a sick child in hospital and even just living and being around a hospital for weeks and months on end. And those people, unfortunately, only being able to deal with that heavy burden themselves and not cast it onto a loving God. I know that Lauren had some had some really good conversations with some of the other mums during that time when she was in there, I guess, sharing her faith and sort of how she was being sustained through that time, and made some good friendships there as well. So fast forwarding 7 weeks, felt a whole lot longer to us at the time, but we were loading Elise into her car seat for the first time and taking her home. And in a lot of ways, it was so relieving to be out of the hospital environment. But in a lot of other ways, it was even more stressful. Now we were the only ones that were responsible for this little person's life. No more doctors and nurses to fall back on. But again, through God's grace, we navigated those first few weeks of being out of the hospital, and sure enough, those weeks turned into months, and months have turned into a little bit over a year, and so I'm sure you can hear, Elise is still alive, so we must be doing something right. So I guess you might be wondering how that story of Elise's first year of life ties into that original plan for being back in Australia for a year and then heading back overseas to the mission field. There's been a few spanners in the work there. The first is that the organisation that we were working with over there has been ordered by the courts to cease operations, to close down. So currently we can't even get a visa to go back there. There's teammates on the ground there that are in the process of working a few things through, some different options, but there's still quite a way to go yet. The other reason, of course, is COVID. So not only as it had a devastating impact on countries with lower living standards and worse healthcare systems than ours, but of course the current travel arrangements make it nearly impossible to get in and out of certain areas around the world. And honestly, no one really knows how long those restrictions are going to last for, and when that will transition into perhaps essential travel only. I'm fairly sure that missionary work is not going to be deemed as essential travel by too many governments, so there's going to be an even longer wait there, and so it's going to have to be where eventually we get back to travel being relatively normal. So again, while that's disappointing, we see God's grace and providence to us. So if there hadn't have been this court case, and if Elise hadn't needed to stay back here in Australia longer for her health, it's entirely possible that we would have been overseas when this pandemic hit. And we would have had to make some really, really tough decisions about sticking it out over there, or more likely, packing up our lives and moving back to Australia after only having just left. Or we may not have even had that choice. We could have been stranded in a country with a strained healthcare system and a disorganised approach to controlling the outbreak of COVID, with a little baby to care about as well. So I guess all those different things in isolation obviously aren't great, but we can see how together God has worked it to avoid us being in a really difficult situation. And I think while a piece of our hearts is still in Central Asia, we definitely don't see this extended time that we have that God's given us here in Gympie as wasted. It's quite the opposite, in fact. And I think the more we look, the more we can see how God is using us right here and now to bring him glory. The fact that I'm helping to look after the IT for a Christian school during this pandemic, and I can use the skills that God's blessed me with to be able to empower the school to continue to give a valuable Christian education for over 400 students here in Gympie in the face of school closures and learning from home and everything else. The fact that I've been in a position to assist our church here with live streaming, which means that the Word of God is still being faithfully preached from Gympie Baptist out to our community and beyond our community. Lauren's involved with a few different mothers' groups, and she's been able to share a similar story that I've shared up here about Elise's birth and God's blessing to us during that time, and as well offer a Christian perspective on the different issues that new mums face with people who normally kind of wouldn't be anywhere near church circles. Even in the last few weeks, we've seen God's blessing and provision to us with keeping a roof over our heads. So we were told that the current place that we're renting has been sold and that we'd need to find a new place to live by the beginning of October. Not sure how many of you are aware of what the rental market is like in Gympie at the moment, but it is super competitive. We've applied for about 5 different places, and we know that there's been about 20 or 30 people applying for each of those properties that we've been applying for. But a couple of weeks ago, God ordained a conversation between myself and a work colleague who's leaving Gympie and was looking for someone to take over the lease where they live. And over the last week or two, they've put in a good word for us with the owners and the agent, and we've been accepted to rent that property even before it was advertised. Pending homelessness has been avoided, and we're very thankful for that. A Bible verse that's had a really big impact on my Christian walk, and one that I think sums up the point I'm trying to make this evening, is from Proverbs 19:21, which says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." So, yeah, we've grieved that Lauren had a complicated pregnancy, and that the trauma of that time most likely means we won't be having any more children. We've grieved that God has put a burden on our heart to bring hope and life to a country that is spiritually dark, yet at the moment there doesn't really seem to be a way to get back there anytime soon. However, we rejoice that God has blessed us with a beautiful, happy little girl. And we rejoice that God's found us places to live and work to do during this time that brings glory and honour to Him. So I guess coming around to my original question again, what's God's purpose for my life? Where does He want me to be, and what does He want me to do? I still don't think I have answers to those questions, but I think I can rest and be comforted that even though I don't have those answers to what my life's purpose is, I know that He has a purpose for my life, and that my job is just to continue to seek God in all things, to bring Him honour and glory, to share the hope that we have in Jesus with the people that He brings into our lives. And I think if I can do that, I can let go of things I want to control. Control and letting go is a big part of my testimony as well. Yeah, I think I can let go of that and know that God will continue to guide my steps and guide my family's steps, whatever and wherever they're going to be. That's all I had for tonight. I might just close in prayer around those points and hand it back over. God, again, I thank You for who You are and that You've created each one of us individually, that You've given us, each one of us, a purpose. You've blessed us with unique talents and abilities, and through those we can bring honour and glory to Your name. So I thank You for that. I pray for myself and I pray for others who might be struggling with purpose where their life would be going and how that would all work. I pray that they would continue to seek You and be comforted by Your presence and Your promises that we read in Your word. Thank You for the blessing of fellowship, for Christian brothers and sisters to speak truth into our lives amongst these things. Thank you for your loving kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.